And with that familiar theme, we welcome you to, it's Thursday, right?
Yeah, okay. I think so. Yeah, Thursday. The day before the last day of September.
Yeah, it's coming. October is just around the corner, and I was thinking, you know, what is it that, I know April showers bring May flowers, and some month comes in like a lion and out like a lamb or some, vice versa. Right. I don't know what September has, but it's going to leave in some record-breaking fashion for some folks as we're watching, and we've continued to watch, and our hearts have been broke at a lot of the destruction and the loss of life in and across Florida from Hurricane Ian. And some places are just unrecognizable.
Yeah, I think me and your daughter Eden were, you know, and Brother Daniel and I were down there talking. You know, of course, that's part of the state where you guys used to live, and along Fort Myers and along that area over there. It's, I mean, to watch the storm surge and everything that came in. I mean, you can imagine 155 mile an hour winds that were hitting the coast, in addition to the deluge of rain. It's been incredible amounts of rain, still dumping huge amounts of rain, particularly on the East Coast now, as it cut across, dumping just, I mean, these are, according to what the governor said, 500-year level floods, 500-year flood. And now it's going to be affecting areas there in northeast Florida.
Right.
With Jacksonville, Daytona Beach. I mean, they're still getting
St. Augustine.
They're still getting tropical force winds, 65 mile an hour with higher gusts than that right now. And so, yeah, flooding is going to be a major, major, major concern for days now. After pretty much, sadly, you know, we're reminded of what happened with Katrina. And, you know, with land being at sea level or below. Some areas in Jacksonville are below sea level. And, of course, they've got seawalls and, you know, and gates to protect all that. But the St. John's River empties in right there. And so
where does the water go?
And I mean, it's got to go somewhere. They were showing video. Miss Eden was talking about it. They were showing video how, that the, you know, obviously the depth of the water gets real shallow right next to the coast of Florida. And so as the storm surge was coming, you know, was coming, it acted like a tsunami. It literally sucked the water out of the bay, and then it came in literally, you know, without any other word to say, it was a flood. And it come in 6, 7, 8, 10 feet high, in some areas higher than that.
I was listening to Mike Bettis from the Weather Channel, watching a little bit of it last night after church. And at one interview they had with him, these were his words, that he has covered over 90 storms. And this was the worst one he personally had ever covered. And that spoke a lot with that type of history, with that type of experience. And Lee County, Florida, I'm not exactly sure that the numbers have been confirmed, but there was a lot this morning because the sheriff of Lee County estimated that his death total would be in the hundreds because people there didn't evacuate because they thought it was going north of them.
I think that's what the explanation, you know, as they began to filter through the info that they were getting, a lot of folks thought that this thing was going to come, and for a long time it looked like it was going to hit the Tampa Bay area. And that was what the, everybody was, that's, again, a lot of folks said, well, we've been through these kind of things before. It won't be near as bad here. We won't take a direct hit from the eyewall, and we'll make a, you know, plans accordingly. Sadly, it turned to the right before it got there, made landfall earlier than expected, and caught a lot of people off guard. And so that being said, a lot of those folks didn't evacuate. They had to shelter in place. And I think what the sheriff was saying, I caught a little bit of his interview this morning on Fox, on Fox News. It was saying that because they started getting so many calls for rescues, and of course they had already suspended operations at that point. They were hunkered down in their operations center, And so they were not answering calls, but they were, I mean, they were getting calls
for
help, but they couldn't go out and answer those calls in person.
Yeah.
And so given the numbers of calls that they were getting of people that were in a dire emergency situation, and then you didn't hear back.
Yeah.
That's where he's getting his numbers from. Mm. And so again, we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't, and of course may not know for several days.
The people in Florida need our prayers.
Yes.
And all along that's been, please pray for Florida. So
please continue
to pray for Florida. And it may be, as you said, several days before we know, more solid numbers. And one other thing that I caught last night is I know different parts of the eye wall. Someone told us, yesterday within the eye, it can kind of clear up and be
mm-hmm.
pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But the eye wall is where those winds were 150 miles an
yeah.
hour or more.
Yeah.
But I believe it was Mike Bettis again, or it might have been Jim Cantore or one of the other folks on the Weather Channel. They said that they were within the eye wall with those winds for 5 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how anything could withstand up to 5 hours. Because, a tornado comes through, and not minimizing tornadoes at all.
Right.
But they come through, and they last several minutes.
Yeah.
This was several hours.
Yeah.
And rescues continue, and what's happening now is the storm has moved across Florida,
mm-hmm.
or finishing
yeah.
Florida. Going back into the going into the Atlantic because it came from the Gulf.
Yeah.
And if I understand correctly, and I've been out a little bit this morning with some other things, so you probably have a better idea of what they're saying now that's going to happen.
It looks like it's going to track right up the Florida coast, the east coast of Florida, and get out into the Atlantic. And so it's going to, right there where Jacksonville, southern Georgia, all that area is, and it's going to gain some strength because they're now saying that all of South Carolina is under a hurricane warning.
Yeah.
And so all of South Carolina coast is under a hurricane warning, and that stretches inland all the way past Columbia. And I'm looking even to the portions of North Carolina to where tropical storm warnings are in effect for also most of the eastern portions of North Carolina and hurricane warnings as well. And
yeah.
so we're looking at, the tropical storm warnings are in North Carolina.
Yeah.
So hurricane warnings in South Carolina all the way to Columbia. And this is up through Charlotte in North Carolina, tropical storm warnings as well.
I was trying to go up the coast. Myrtle Beach is a hurricane warning.
Yeah.
Then when you get the it seems that they're breaking there at the line.
Yeah.
Carolina Beach and Wilmington seem to be the tropical storm. It switches there.
So we really don't know if this thing happens to get reformed out over the Atlantic and be able to establish another eye wall to where it can gain some strength. And, of course, now I think that the maximum sustained winds a few minutes ago were at 70 miles an hour. And so this thing wouldn't take much to get back to a Category 1 and make landfall the second time. Over the South Carolina coast is what they're saying. So, the rain, we've been talking about it. I know in several areas here in the mountains, I reported earlier today, several officials from different counties. I know you probably caught it on the news. They lowered the level of Lake Lure down 3 feet. So they've done that. Mm-hmm. Several areas are making plans for the runoff. And this 5 to 8 inches, I think, is what they're still calling for.
Yeah.
For here on the eastern escarpment of the Appalachians, the Blue Ridge Mountains. So
yeah, they're I'm looking. Let's see. I was trying to find that the local hurricane statement. They have such a thing that came out of Greenville-Spartanburg. And there is down on the coastal areas, of course, there's the tropical storm warnings.
Right.
And they're saying that the storm was about 450 miles south of Charlotte, or about 490 miles south of Hickory.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're saying that tropical storm Ian is expected to strengthen back into a hurricane, before making landfall again in South Carolina. It will track northwest across the Carolinas, bringing strong winds and heavy rain to the region. Localized flash flooding will be possible. And I was trying to see, this is probably where those amounts came from, but I'm not seeing that they have put, maybe I'm just not looking at the right screen.
Well, the National Weather Service has not, they've not given us here, per se, like in the Rosamond, Brevard, Pisgah Forest area, the official numbers that they're calling for, hopefully and prayerfully, these numbers aren't going to be near as high as what they might see down toward Columbia, Charlotte, back out that way.
Right.
But they're still saying, let's prepare for the worst, and you know, and be ready. And then, you know, right now I think in the forecast, and I've been forecasting up about 3/4 of an inch tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
And then another 3/4 to an inch overnight on Friday night. So if we can get through tonight or tomorrow night, excuse me, tomorrow afternoon, about 11 o'clock is when it's going to start. And then if we can get through tomorrow afternoon and through tomorrow night into Saturday, even though rain's going to continue, the bulk of the rain hopefully will pass through here late Friday night, early Saturday morning, and then kind of fizzle itself out, hopefully. That's what looking for here in the mountains, but that's just for our local forecast, so we don't know what's could happen east of us.
They add that, you know, the track remains uncertain. And so I think that that's, in all honesty, only way you can put it, you know, how do you, you don't have a definite route. But, you know, 2 inches or so. The one thing I have noticed here locally, I have noticed the wind has picked up here. I noticed it this morning when I was driving. It there was a significant switch, like the wind came on, and it's blowing out there. So we may have a few scattered power outages, but we'll watch things and see how it comes together.
Appreciate Brother Bradley letting us know. Of course, they in the fire service there, letting us know. See, of course, they keep in contact and they're pretty much aware of a lot that's going on in all over the country. In regards to calls, their emergency, the 911 phone system in Lee County, we were talking about that a moment ago, went down. And so they automatically were rerouted. Those phone calls were rerouted into the neighboring county. They were able to field about 1,200 calls for service. But obviously crews there in Lee County could not respond because the winds were above 45 miles per hour. So they had to hold those calls until conditions got safe enough to answer.
1,200
911 calls. 1,200. Again, you know, it doesn't, being inundated, I mean, a lot of times, you know, when we have a natural disaster here, whether it be flooding, whether it be an ice storm, whether it be snowfall, and the 911 centers get inundated with calls. Well, imagine taking 1,200 calls. Within just a very short span of time. And again, it's just hard to imagine. The fourth, the fourth largest to ever hit Florida. That's what they're saying. The fourth largest hurricane to ever hit the Florida panhandle in history of recorded, you know, of recorded data. Miss Karen sent this to us, you know, they're, of course, giving some wonderful points regarding safety practices. If we do happen to see an increased enhancement, of you will, of the remnants of Hurricane Ian as they get to our area, we've talked a lot about this, even in the wintertime, about using generators, carbon monoxide poisoning, very, very important things. You can go to a website. It's called North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services .org. And .gov, excuse me, .gov, NCDHHS.gov, and you can find several points in regarding to the safeguarding of your property. Things like preparing your wells, septic tanks, storm hazards, things like that. I was watching video of a hotel that all of their, like their picnic the chairs, those plastic chairs and tables and all that, like you have out outside, they were just, I mean, it looked like a wave of them just being thrown through the air, you know, securing items outside your home, things like that.
And that would be good to go ahead and do here. The wind, they're saying that we'll see 15 to 20, 25 mile per hour wind with gusts as high as 35 miles an hour. And you know, those speeds could increase just based on the storm track. But your furniture can actually cause more damage if it's blown around. And you don't want to have to go tracking, picking it up. And so it's... Brother Bradley, God bless you, brother. Brother Bradley's been in emergency services for a number of years.
Yeah.
And he texted in that 17 years is how long he's been in emergency services. And over those 17 years, he's heard a lot. And he's seen a lot and responded to a lot.
Yeah.
But this is his words. I was listening to live radio traffic all night, probably the most devastating thing I've heard in my 17 years of emergency services.
Wow. Yeah.
That speaks volumes, folks.
Yeah.
So we not only need to pray for those that are being rescued, but we need to pray for the rescuers.
Rescuers.
And can you imagine the heartbreak that those people felt as they took those calls?
Yeah.
Being helpless.
And being helpless.
Absolutely helpless.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to pray about. And someone asked yesterday about emergency disaster relief, and the answer will be yes. That is Pastor always his answer. Yeah. Yes. To what extent and how, that's yet to be determined, because right now, now's not the time to pack up and head to Florida.
No.
On your own without going through the proper channels, because they've got things cut off. It's for safety.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they were talking about how just the water is contaminated and it has debris in it, and it has, I mean, you don't want to talk about it, but it's got snakes and it's got other stuff in it.
Yeah.
And so there's a right way to do things. And so they're already making phone calls and in touch. And Fort Myers was hit really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Brother Jones was talking yesterday afternoon on Drive Time that they've already been in touch with some folks in Fort Myers. So we'll let you know.
Yeah.
But I think that we've got to let Ian get through here.
Yeah.
And see where we stand at the end. Because one thing you have to look at, okay, it was already hard getting building materials before this.
Right.
Getting supplies were already difficult before this, and this has just further complicated that. So there's quite a bit of details to get worked out.
Right.
So, but we will be responding in the most appropriate way that we can.
I think it's important to know that, you know, and the anticipation of this storm has been working up for now over a week.
Yeah.
Week and a half.
You're right.
I knew it was coming. And the uncertainty of the track has put everyone, particularly on the East Coast, in preparation mode.
Yeah.
And so, thankfully, a lot of other states, I know I have a lineman, an actual high-rise lineman, gentleman. I performed their ceremony, him and his wife. You know, they are members of our church. He works for Duke Energy. He is one of the big guys who works on the very high towers.
Oh.
And they were on standby. They've been on standby all week. And, you know, the thing is that Duke Energy put them on standby for North Carolina.
Yeah.
Because they called crews in from Indiana to come to Florida.
Yeah.
And so there is an orchestrated, a very well orchestrated response by the utilities as well as the governmental agencies to handle this. So when, you know, in answer to your question, folks, yes, there will be a response later through Anchor and all of that once the contacts have been made, once roads are passable, once you know, the initial response by the federal government as well as the local and regional governments and the governor of South Carolina, which I believe is a tremendous individual and doing the best that he can for his people. I think it's important to let them do their work, and then the recovery portion starts. And there's where, It'll be all hands on deck.
Yeah.
So pray.
Because that's
what the Lord would have you do.
Yeah. That's kind of where our disaster relief
exactly.
comes in. Because
exactly.
we, of course, you give the preference to the people that are there on the ground now.
Right.
And if they need something, they will let us know. But when it gets past the, you know, right now we want to get water. We want to get, you know, those things that the people need. But,
yeah.
you know, in preparing, we don't know what they prepared for. So we don't know what they do need.
Right.
So I promise you, as soon as we know anything, we will let you know. Here locally, I would remind you that, you know, for local sports, a lot of the teams have adjusted their ball games.
To tonight.
To tonight.
Yeah.
Many of them have. So check with your school and that. We just got an email from the National Forest. The Pisgah National Forest just is making some changes due to the hurricane that's coming on the coast, Ian. So they're temporarily closing some campgrounds and recreation areas. The Appalachian Ranger District, Neals Creek Road, Flattop Road, Madison County, Hickory Fork Road, Murray Branch Recreation Site, Black Mountain, Briar Bottom, and Harmon Den Horse Campgrounds will be closed Friday. Expected to reopen the 4th of October. Roan Mountain Recreation Area will close for the season today. They'll reopen Memorial Day. Trying to get anything around here. Okay, the Pisgah Ranger District. These following roads will be closed starting today and will reopen next Tuesday. Avery's Creek, Bent Creek, Davidson River Road, Beyond Cove Creek Group Campground, Headwaters Road, Lickstone Road, Wash Creek, and Yellow Gap, Sycamore Flats Picnic Area, and Wolf Ford Campground will close today and will be closed through the weekend, reopening on Tuesday.
Okay.
So I think that's kind of those in our immediate area. So for the most part, the forest, for all intents and purposes, is closing today and will reopen Tuesday.
Right. Well, that's again, the potential for flash flooding with those rainfall amounts, especially along the east side, and guess where we are? We are on the eastern side of the mountains. And so with that flash flood warning that could potentially come with these increased rainfall amounts, you know how it is. The Davidson River comes down through there in a hurry.
Well, we saw with Fred.
We saw it with Fred. And, you know, it doesn't take much.
No.
So 2 or 3 inches of rain, we'll have some localized flooding, you know, and some flash flooding as well. We just got a text in. Thank you. 2271 is letting us know that Farm City Day, which is coming up this Saturday at Jackson Park, has been canceled.
Okay.
So big day in there in Hendersonville.
Yeah.
Normally every year, a pretty nice. It's a really good, fun activity. Been canceled. Farm City Day for Jackson Park, canceled for Saturday.
Yeah, and if there's anything that you have going on that there's going to be a shift in the schedule, please let us know, and we'll be happy to share that with our listeners.
Yeah.
And so I don't have the list of the ball games. I printed it, but I left it on the printer, so it does me no good. But most folks that follow high school football,
right.
you're going to know your school's been very good to get the word out, and a lot of the games have been moved to tonight just because of the rain coming in tomorrow.
Okay, very good.
All right, brother. Well, the only other thing I was going to mention is the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission will begin their delayed harvest trout water regulations starting on Saturday.
Yeah.
Don't know that it's going to be a great day for great weekend for fishing, but anyway, and what that is under those regulations, no trout can be harvested or possessed from marked waters.
Right.
That runs October the 1st until June 2nd.
Yep.
So
and everybody that knows who fishes them, those are white signs with black letters that say delayed right across the sign.
It's clearly marked.
And you cannot possess them. It doesn't mean you can't fish them. It just means you can't possess them.
You got to throw it back.
Pretty much.
It's catch and release.
And release.
Yeah.
Artificial lure, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, you can't use
live bait. No.
Yeah. Yep. And those are on that's on the signs.
That's posted right on the sign.
They're marked clearly. And if you need to find out more, you can get all the details at ncwildlife.org.
Yep.
That is a great resource mm-hmm. there. You can get your fishing license online
in a
couple of seconds.
You
don't
can download
take long.
It to your phone. You don't even have to have a hard copy anymore.
Yeah,
you can print it off if you want to.
They'll
but
mail
you, can
you
save,
one.
You can mail you one.
But
or you can save it to your phone, and if you happen to get stopped, you can pull your phone out.
Yeah, that's where mine are.
Yeah.
I did that.
Yeah.
And so just know. And then they also said in Transylvania County, the East Fork of the French Broad River is scheduled to be stocked October 5th, and Little River is scheduled to be stocked October 6th.
Yeah.
So you still can fish,
yeah.
but again, it's catch and release.
Yeah.
And you also have your bait restrictions.
Right.
So there you have it. That's starting this weekend.
Yeah.
Again, not going to be a great week for fishing
Probably
by
not.
Any means. Maybe off the front porch.
I've fished in the rain, but I'm not going to, I mean, you know, with the wind blowing and all that, I think it probably won't be a great weekend for that.
Yeah, I would think so,
yeah.
that it'd probably be kind of hold off on that.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got a couple of notes here,
sure.
and we'll look at traffic. I haven't even looked at a traffic map, so I might get you if you can get
see
to
if
that.
I can pop up real quick.
I got a note from the front office. We've got a couple of Faith, Family, and Freedom T-shirts that were ordered that have not been picked up. So if you ordered one and you've not been able to get here and you're planning to pick it up, if you'd be so kind to maybe give us a quick phone call. And we're asking folks, if at all possible, we need those picked up by the end of October.
Okay.
We'll hold them through then. So again, if you ordered a Faith, Family, and Freedom T-shirt and you've not picked it up, if you could make arrangements to get that picked up or give us a call and let us know what you'd like for us to do.
Okay, very good. Speaking of traffic, we do have some delays on I-26, and that is westbound, starting at the airport. It's all construction-related, looks like to me, all the way from off and on. It's not a parking lot, but it's certainly in slow in areas all the way down to the French Broad River from the airport. So if you're going west on I-26 toward Asheville, you're going to see some off and on delays, just pretty much that stop-and-go traffic like you normally have during the construction zone. There at 191 in Boone's, I guess we always used to call it Boone's Corner.
Yep.
That's a little slow right there at Long Shoals where it comes in to 191 there in Avery's Creek. Backed up quite a ways. Yeah.
Mm.
So I don't know what that is other than just lunch traffic.
Yeah.
Because they used to have a really good restaurant there.
Oh, they do.
They still do.
You need to go see them.
And it's really, really good because everybody in that area goes to lunch there.
And it's really good prices, too.
Yeah.
Throw that in there.
Airport Road, that right there in front of Walmart, and all that is a little heavy, as well as 25 and 25A. But everywhere else, though, looking pretty good.
Be careful.
Yeah, yeah. Be safe.
Slow down, and we'll get through this. With the wind, I noticed I don't drive a really big vehicle. I have a little Nissan Rogue, but it was throwing me around a little bit on the highway.
Yeah.
So the wind's picking up enough to where, especially in those high-profile vehicles, so I'd slow things down just a touch.
Yep.
I've got one swap shop item that's on email, so you won't see it. I haven't moved it over yet, but I'll let you get started, and then I'll grab this one.
When we get down to the Angus one, it's still there. Good.
Should be. Yes,
we need to keep that for a while.
Will do.
I got the message.
All right.
16-foot dual axle trailer for sale, which got a loading ramp. They have the title for $500. Also a pool table with all accessories for $500, and an oak framed oval mirror in excellent condition for $50. 553-2268, 553-2268.
And I appreciate Brother Samuel Hendon letting me know about this. Kind of a special circumstance. Some young men are looking for some odd jobs. They need to get some odd job money rolling. And Daniel and Silas, that's their names.
Mm-hmm.
And you can contact Brother Samuel Hendon. I believe this is his number, and he can tell you more about it. And if you'd like to, if you've got, whether you're cleaning out gutters or blowing leaves, stacking wood, cutting wood, there's a lot to be done in the fall. Call 845-0371 and work out something with them. Again, 828-845-0371.
someone needing someone to come blow insulation into an attic area of a one-story ranch house. 884-6153-884-6153.
1,000 feet of wormy chestnut paneling. That's beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
3/4 inch thick, and the widths vary, and they're asking $6,000. They've got 1,000 feet of oak flooring. You can call for the price on that. They also have a 50-inch LG smart TV for $350 and 2 16-inch turf tires and wheels for a small compact tractor for $150. 681-9615, 681-9615.
Also, thank you, Miss Juanita. I-26 West stopped at the airport, so it is stopped. So,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know what's probably construction-related, but hopefully that's no wrecks. But we're just letting you know, if you're getting on I-26, it's stopped at the airport. All right? For sale, a Seiko
there's
watch.
There's an accident. I'm
sorry. Oh, there's an accident.
She just
popped that up there. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Miss Juanita. A Seiko watch for sale. It's yellow gold with pearl facing and black pearl on the stem, 8 tiny diamonds around the face. It's got a stainless steel back, asking $60. Also, new steel wrapped up sewing machine attachments, 32 pieces foot attachment, fit any low shaft machine, asking $25, originally $55. And also new, the ultimate play piano and flash in a flash system plus book, volume number 2, asking $10. 577-5663-577-5663.
Angus freezer beef, grass and grain fed, custom cut and packaged to your order. They are selling bulk by the hanging weight of $5.50 a pound. Must buy at least half, and it's going to the processor October 17th. 230-8461, 230-8461.
All right, here's several items for sale. We've got a 23-inch LG computer monitor for $25. Also a kerosene heater. It's 3 gallons of kerosene to go with it for $25. And also a cast iron table for $20. 577-5663-577-5663.
14-week-old female purebred chocolate lab, up to date on her shots, and they have copies of her parents' paperwork. She's over in the Fletcher area. Super sweet little dog, $300. And the best way to reach them, email dirkamiddleton@gmail.com, or you can call or text at 828-216-3475. Again, that's dirkamiddleton@gmail.com. or 216-3475.
Here's a job opportunity. You get work in either both North or South Carolina. Looking to hire several individuals with experience in building retaining walls. And if you can operate equipment, that is a plus, but not required. 864-561-7794. 864-561-7794.
Some folks have found themselves in a sad position of having to rehome their standard poodle, 3-year-old male that is AKC registered, and poodles are super smart dogs.
Mm-hmm.
He is apricot and white. You can see a picture on our website at WGCR.net. Up to date on his shots, is crate trained and house trained, a very sweet and loving boy. 577-6055, 577-6055.
Here's 2 sets of 48-inch folding doors, free for pickup in the Pisgah Forest area. 883-9415, 883-9415.
That's our items for today. Happy anniversary on this 29th of September to Dan and Betty Taylor, 66 years.
All right. Congratulations.
What a blessing. And then Chloe Reed is 12 today.
All right. Happy birthday, Chloe.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Folks, have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Or is it Chloe or Cleo?
I bet it's Cleo. Sorry.
I've been saying it wrong all morning. I'm sorry, Chloe. I've been saying Chloe, too.
Oh, well,
I just saw that.
I
have to apologize.
You know,
is it Cleo?
I want to say Chloe. That rings in my mind.
Well, I'll go with your mind.
There's a lot ringing up.
Don't go with mine.
Nobody's home.
we'll say
ringing,
Chloe.
But maybe nobody's answering.
Maybe it just got put in a little different.
Oh, goodness.
Well, anyway.
Wanted to mention that Georgetown, I believe we got an email that their youth meeting, it was prolonged in Monday through Wednesday night from last Wednesday through Friday.
Yes.
It is going tonight.
Again, another night tonight. Yes.
7 o'clock.
Yeah.
I think start time, Brother Brian Coates
Brother
preaching.
Brother Brian Coates preaching. Brother Jacob Ellidge inviting everybody to come and be a part of the meeting. It's going on. It's in its, I think it was half of last week, going mm-hmm. on into the first half of this week and continuing tonight. So
yeah.
Very good.
So pray for them
yeah.
and that the Lord would continue to move. And that's, again, Georgetown Baptist Church in Leicester.
Yeah.
And we're looking in Carolina calendar what's going on.
I think Brother Steve Price's meeting, still meeting for tonight, their
okay.
last night of meeting. We'll go on there at the Peniel Baptist camp meeting going on through tonight, and I think that is also at 7 o'clock. And so, again, we've been praying for that meeting as well.
Yeah.
Our meeting at Crossroads will be tomorrow night there for our youth meeting, and as it stands right now, we're praying that the bulk of the weather's not supposed to get here till later on up into the overnight, later in the overnight, early morning hours mm-hmm. on Friday. We may see a bit of rain or something tomorrow evening and a little bit of increase in wind, but we're going to still go on with the meeting. As far as I know right now, things take a turn for the worse quicker. We'll let folks know
yeah.
in time, hopefully, to get it canceled. But we're having a meeting tomorrow night, youth meeting, 7 o'clock at Crossroads. Brother Jonathan Buckner
yeah.
will be our preacher, and we've got the choirs coming. I've got 3 or 4 churches coming, bringing their youth groups. So we're looking forward to a good time in the Lord. If you need more information, call me here at the studios. You can call 458-5456.
Praying
and we'll
for
be
that.
Happy to help you out.
Pray the weather holds off.
Pray it will.
And that you can.
Yeah.
Also, Fellowship Baptist Church is having a revival that starts this Sunday. It'll go Sunday through Wednesday. Preaching's going to be Brother Roger Massey. Sunday service at 6, and then Monday through Wednesday nights at 7.
Okay. Fall revival starts next week at the Maple Hill Baptist Church there in Etowah,
yeah.
the Monday night, the 3rd, running through the 7th. Brother Jimbo Seaton will be preaching each night at 7 o'clock. And the Edwards family is going to be there Monday night, the Ellidge sisters Tuesday night. His Will will be there Thursday night, and then Middle Cross Friday night.
Amen.
And Pastor Dennis Lanning and the congregation welcome everyone to come out next week.
And also, Transylvania Cares, Stories of Addiction and Hope, are hosting a special panel discussion. That's going to be this afternoon, starting at 5, and will run till 7 in the Rogal Room of the Transylvania County Library. They'll be talking about the stigma that surrounds substance use and also what resources are available at both the local and regional levels. Refreshments are provided, and if you need more information, 884-1750.
Okay. Transylvania County still taking proposals for the construction of a new EMS service base, and they've been needing that for a good while. And you can obtain that proposal by calling up to see Jennifer Galloway at the Transylvania County Finance Department at 101 South Broad Street. You can drop by or call 884-3104, or you can go online at transylvaniacounty.org. They just have to have those proposals back no later than 10 a.m. on October the 19th. They're going to be having a meeting, a pre-bid mandatory meeting at 10 a.m. on October the 5th in the Transylvania County Commissioner's Chambers.
That's coming up next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you can check the email, there is a Calvary Chapel in Mills River is having a special event in October, and I need to make sure we get that on Carolina calendar.
Okay.
It's down in there somewhere.
Somewhere down in here.
I opened it, but I didn't get it moved over yesterday. And we can keep looking.
Are we down?
Yeah, well, we'll have to double check. I know we've got it was Calvary Chapel. They're having an event for fall, and we'll make sure we find that and get that on Carolina calendar because I didn't see it in the
database. We'll try to get that on for you as soon as we can here, as soon as I can locate it.
We'll find it. I know
okay.
I saw it yesterday,
all
so
right.
I just have to find out where I saw it. We hope that you have a great afternoon, and again, everything looking good for as we head into tomorrow. Looks like probably later tomorrow afternoon's when the rain's going to start, but we'll keep an eye on things, and if anything changes, we'll be sure to let you know.
Yeah, for sure.
How about song from the Rogers family head out today?
Okay.
I think we got time. Love this family, and I love the way they do this song.
Yeah.
Featuring, I believe, Miss Rebecca, I Am Redeemed.
All right.